Do we really believe that, church, with all our hearts? That God is more than able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or ever imagine. And through the blood of His Son, we come into a relationship with God. And when God looks at us, He sees us holy and righteous, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did on our behalf. Church, what a privilege. What a privilege, church, as that revelation in our heart grows, so an attitude of gratitude begins to stir up in our hearts afresh as we realize that nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the unconditional, unmerited, and undeserved love of God. That this is an amazing God who says in Romans 5, that whilst you were still sinners and enemies of the cross, I sent my Son to die for you. Before you knew me, when you were blaspheming me, when you were living in the world, my gaze was upon your life. And I had a plan for you. And that plan was fulfilled in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we are such a blessed people to be part of the family of God, to be part of His kingdom, to be part of something that will last forever and ever and ever and ever. And church, if we could just thank our Father, if we'll just lift our voices and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love and your forgiveness. Thank you that you chose me, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Church, you may be seated for a while. Well, welcome back, many of you. Been away, isn't this been an amazing summer? Been absolutely wonderful. I was a bit nervous in June, but God was very gracious to us. And so good to see so many of you back. And the place filling up again. Well, in 2 weeks, we go to 2 services again. So we make more space, not only for you, but for your friends who you're going to invite and encourage to come and hear of the love of God. So it is, it's lovely when it's full like this, for sure. But we want to trust God for increase, not so that we can look good in the city, but so that we can have an impact on the city through the lives of the people God touches here at Oceanside. So thank you so much for coming along. Just for a number of you, there's this little iConnect card. You'll see that around. If you're new to the church and you're not connected yet, please fill that in. We'll have somebody contact you from that iConnect. And also, you'll get on our church bulletin mailing list and be able to be up to date with what is happening in the church. And so we'd love to meet with you guys. And this Wednesday, actually, this Thursday, Deborah and I leave for a trip to Africa. And it's going to be a 6-week trip, so it's a long trip. So I'm already missing you, and I haven't even left yet. But we increased the trip. It was going to be 4 weeks. We had planned this, but Deborah's dad passed away recently, and she wants to get there and spend some time helping her mom sort out her future and so on. So we've brought it forward a bit. So we leave this Thursday instead of in a few weeks' time. And we would really, really covet your prayers over this time, just for health and protection and all of those things. And then I will be going up to Zimbabwe with a team, part of the apostolic team. I'm actually from Zimbabwe, born in Zimbabwe. I know I don't look like a Zimbabwean, but I am one. And it's good to go home. It's good to go and bless the church in that nation that is going through tremendous turmoil, tremendous trials, tremendous poverty. And so I'll be part of a team that will be ministering to about 300 or 400 leaders, pastors, encouraging them and training and equipping them and blowing wind in their sails. So I am so excited about that. I want to tell you, I've been in Canada 15 years, but I haven't been back to Zimbabwe for 20 years. So it's absolutely, I'm so excited for that. So then we will be involved in a conference in Johannesburg, which is in South Africa. It will be a leadership conference there too. And then ministering in one or two churches and going up into the Mozambique area, Northern Natal, which is also very rural. A lot of poverty, to do ministry there. And we've built a relationship, the team that I go with these churches over many years. And I can't tell you, I'm telling you, they're village churches, they all come together. But when they hear that somebody from Canada, because I'm now Canadian, I've been here 15 years, and a church from Canada has sent somebody to minister to them, they are absolutely blown away. Absolutely blown away. And I love to go to the churches where the streets have no names. I love to go to those rural churches and bless them. There's so much good stuff going on in the bigger churches, but I like to get to the ones that can't afford or to have somebody come in there. And we go with your blessing and your support. So please pray for us over this time, and we'll be in touch for sure. I'll be sending out a prayer schedule of where we'll be and what we'll be doing. So and so that you can pray for us. And obviously for Deborah, for her health over this time. We have a missionary here, Dr. Franco, and we're going to give him time to speak. I just want to lay a bit of a platform, because this dream, working with somebody and with a team like Dr. Franco's, actually started before this church was birthed. When Deborah and I were in South Africa, praying and asking God what this church should be, and spending time for 5 years in preparation to come and plant this church, which is planted in April of 1997 with just me and my children and my wife. That was the congregation, and it's grown since then. So we're so grateful to God. But these are strategic things. I want you to know that. And one of the things that God showed us that he would want us to plant a base. A base is a resourcing church, a base church that would not only resource things in Canada, but in the nations that God would open up to us. And one of the key scriptures he gave us I'll just give you two of them, was Isaiah 58, where God talks about true fasting. And it was interesting, a few weeks ago, we had one of our members of parliament come preach out of Isaiah 58. And that was one of them. Looking after the poor, the responsibility to the poor, the widows, and the orphans. And we knew that that was going to be part of our destiny in coming to Canada. And we know there are poor here, but we knew that it was bigger than that. So I ask you to go and meditate on that passage. I don't want to preach today. I want to get Dr. Franco up here. And then the other one was Acts 1:8. We are people that believe in the power of the Spirit of God. We are people that unashamedly believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that without the power and the anointing of God, we can do very little. But in God, we can do all things. And Jesus said to the apostles and the disciples that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And our uttermost parts of the world stretch with me going to Africa now and working in other parts of the world. But it's not it's not one at the expense of the other. We have a responsibility to this city and to this nation that God has called us to make an impact, to usher in the kingdom of God. And so that's what we do locally. But outside of that, God will begin to open more and more doors as these circles go. So Haiti may be in the Samaria or in the uttermost parts of the world. But one of the things Deborah and I have prayed for is people with integrity that we can partner with. I've been involved in missions in Africa, and there's a lot of good stuff going on. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. We also knew that we would rather do one or two things well than 100 things badly. And so we have been praying and waiting. And sometimes waiting on God is frustrating because you just want to run ahead of Him. And I've done that often. And God is so gracious, He just pushes pause until I get back in step with Him. And so on this journey, we have been praying. And one of the things is we understand, because our primary relationships on Africa, that it is very expensive to send teams to Africa on a regular basis. But we were praying, God, where could we get involved within our sphere of influence, the Americas and the islands around here? And out of that, we through Rob and Cheryl Hood, I'd love to stand for a moment. These are amazing people. Let me tell you, you might not know them. You may not know them, but I want to tell you, you better get to know your brothers and sisters in this church, because there are so many diamonds that need to be mined, and so many experiences, rich people that we can learn to love and work together. And as we've got to know this couple, we begin to hear about what was happening in Haiti with Dr. Franco. And over a period of time in our house and that, and just learning more, this started after the earthquake in Haiti. And from then on, it's just been, what is going on there? How can we get involved? And I'll tell you the few things that I wanted to get involved in, and Deborah and I were saying, we wanted to get involved with children. Children, with the poor, bringing not only the gospel, but help medically, financially, and all the other ways we could do that. And now, as we started speaking, we started to begin to hear about this group in Haiti, been there many years. Franco will tell you about that. People of integrity, and all of the things that we would have thought that we wanted to get involved in, we found was happening there. And I'm not one for reinventing the wheel just to look good. I would rather come alongside people that are already doing it, blow wind in their sails, and encourage them to along their journey in partnership. So as we partner, it's not for us going to tell the poor people in Africa or Haiti what to do. It's for us to come alongside as co-laborers, equal in God, and come and fulfill a dream and a vision. So I spent time with Dr. Franco on Friday. It's the first time I've personally met, and these were the questions, because what I wanted to know is this the group that God has called us to partnership with? And I wanted from Dr. Franco to hear, does he feel he could partner with us? Because a partnership is a two-way relationship. And I must say, I'm very excited with what I heard, and I believe there's something in God that has been birthed here for the long term. I don't want us to get into a mission trip where we go there for 2 weeks, take some pictures, put them on the board, and we forget about them. If we commit, we want to know that this orphanage and this group can rely on us, not as the only support for this ministry, but as one of them. Not controlling, but releasing finances, releasing people. And I'll tell you, one day I was sitting, I have a little field at my place, got a few acres, and I was sitting on the field, and one of the things that one of the apostolic fathers in my life said, Mike, every now and then you should do an audit on your life, a spiritual audit. What is that? So, well, how am I doing? What are the talents God has given you? Because you will be held accountable to God for how we use our talents. What are they, and how well are you doing in using those talents? It's not to make you depressed. It's to make you free. But I was sitting there thinking about the things, and I said, you know, maybe not too good, not too bad. And I was just having this conversation with God. And God said, you know, the problem is, Mike, as the leader of this church, as the father of this work, you are going to be held accountable for the talents of the people that I send to this church. Let me tell you, the fear of God hit me like a freight train. I wanted to hand in my resignation and run. Leaders in Hebrews 30 are to be honored and to be submitted to. That's the easy part. Leaders will give an account to God on how they led. And I think I'm going to swap lines when I get to heaven. But anyway, it got me thinking, in this church, we have many gifted people. And Franco will tell you what the needs are. But in this church, for example, we have approximately 10 to 12 doctors, psychiatrists, opticians. I mean, for the size of church, that is huge. That's not taking all the radiographers, the nurses, and primary health care givers, and all of that, that the chiropractors. And I'm thinking, wow, we have got talent. We have builders that can go and build houses there. We have people that understand water, how to purify water. We have people that know how to plant gardens. We have people that can just come along and love children. We have got it all. So God, will you open a door where these giftings and talents can be used for the extension of your kingdom? And this is how these relationships start. I don't go and try and push doors open. I've tried that before. Doesn't work. God, will you open the doors? And so Franco's going to share today. And then tonight, if you are interested in hearing more about the practical side of the mission work and how you can get involved, we're going to have him here and or at the junction, depending on how many people come. And if you'd like to come, maybe at the end, I'll get a show of hands. And he is just going to dialogue. You can ask him about the whole thing and how and where those needs are. Tomorrow night, specifically, for anybody that has an interest, whether they are already qualified or unqualified in the medical area. If we have doctors and nurses and people that are looking at a future of this young people, we're going to sit down because Franco is a doctor. He's a medical doctor. He has a clinic there. And how can we come alongside him and help him in that area with the many people that he's, thousands of people that he needs to minister to? And so that will be tomorrow night. And I'll just tell you, one of my dreams would be to send ministry teams of caregivers, lovers of people, and lovers of children to doctors, opticians, dentists, to send teams on a regular basis to Haiti, if this is where God is calling us, and I am more convinced of that as we dialogue, to send teams to come alongside and to build. And I worked out, for example, and this is no pressure because it has to be from God, that just with the doctors in this church, if every doctor would just donate 1 week a year to missions, we could nearly for 2.5 months, we could man that clinic. Just 1 week a year. Isn't that absolutely amazing? And I guarantee you, when you go, your life will be transformed. So I wanted to lay that foundation. I know it's been a bit long because it's important that this is not a relationship like, oh, there's a missionary in town, let's have him see what he has to say, pat him on the back, and send him on his way with a few bucks in his pocket. This is, if we're going to this, I want you to pray, we're going to put muscle, time, effort, energy, and people into this. And we're not for our glory, but for God's glory. And I don't care if our name... In fact, I would prefer if our name was never even mentioned, because it's to serve these people. And at the end of the day, to help them establish a church, to raise up and equip leaders so that it can be ongoing and sustaining. Isn't that a wonderful dream? That is a dream we had before we came here, and we held it in our hearts until God begins to birth it, because hope deferred makes a heart sick. And so it's taken all this time. And so I'm so excited. Let's give Dr. Franco and Emmanuel, please come. Let's give them a rousing applause.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so blessed to be with you tonight, this morning. It's tonight for me already, so this is my biology clock kicking. So I'm so blessed to be with you and for this opportunity that I have to meet my brothers and sisters. And I'm asking you to be diligent for my accent. And you know, once your tongue has been trained in French, so it is a little bit difficult to get it into another language. But I love your language, and I'm doing my very best so you can understand me when I'm speaking. So I love you, and I have also with me my brother, and we came from the same orphanage. And I'm a little bit older, way older than him, because even we came from the same orphanage, but it turns out that I was his director when he was still in the orphanage. And then we come to work together. So this is Emmanuel. He's living here in BC. He's in Abbotsford. And I would like him to say hi and to introduce himself and to give you a brief testimony of who he is, what he is doing, and what he will be doing.
Good morning, and God bless you. As Dr. Franco said, my name is Emmanuel, and I'm from Haiti. We grew up in the same orphanage, which is in Carrefour. The name of the orphanage is Christian Haitian Outreach, found by a black American lady named Mother Workman. She is in the state now. Now she is 95 years old, still living. So a brief testimony of my life is, I was born in a poor family in Haiti, but when I was 9 years old, my mom and dad passed away at the same year. So I had to move to an orphanage with my two brothers, so we were 5 brothers in the family. Then this is how I get to meet Doug and Linda Weimer. They are from Abbotsford. They live down Matt Lehman Road, where I live now. So I met them since 1992. So God's been speaking to their lives. They've been coming to Haiti back and forth. So now they have they have 2 children. They're both children. Now we are 10 all in the family, because they add up 7 from Haiti and 1 from China. So God has been so gracious to me. And I want to thank you all also for your prayers, even though you did not know me, but I know you've been praying for me through Robert and Cheryl. Because it has been God for me to be here. Because one verse that I've learned on my early age is from Jeremiah 29:11. So God is the one that has a thought and plan over for your life. No matter where you're from, where you are, if you give God a chance to walk through your life, he will plan for you. Because as I told you, I could not ever dream to be in Canada, me myself. Because where I came from, because after my parents died, we got to move to the orphanage because we were so poor. We could not even, like, my mom, after she died. Okay, I just want to tell you that I'm so blessed to be here. I don't like telling a story about my mom because I love her so much. She's been doing a lot. Because she worked so hard to raise 5 boys. This is how she passed away, because life was so difficult. But thanks God, somebody has ministered to my life. And now I am here, and I'm so blessed. And as I'm in Canada, and I will commit to work to help the nation of Haiti because Haiti needs me. Even though I'm a resident in Canada, I will still going back and forth because if somebody didn't minister to my life, I won't be here today. I don't know where would I be if my workman did not take me to the orphanage. Because people, young guys, young kids that are growing up, most of them are dying now because they did not have a chance to go to the orphanage, even though they had their parents, but their life is miserable. Their life is miserable. Thank you for having me. And I know it's not my last time with you because I live in Canada, but I'll be coming to Cheryl and Robert, and I'll see you again. God bless you.
Amen. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Mano is one example out of hundreds of what God has done because he has found people like you, missionaries, people who wanted to be obedient and to go. Today, I just wanted to praise God for the opportunity that I have, for the kindness of Pastor Mike to invite me to come here. I came straight from Haiti to here. And also for Cheryl and Robert, and for everything that they have put to make it possible to come here to meet with you. It is a privilege to be here. And also, it is a blessing that I have to share with you the vision that God put into my life. Thanks to a lady of 50 to 52 years old, she has heard the voice of God speaking to her heart, even though she did not speak Creole at that time, and she was living a very decent life in New Jersey. But God spoke to her heart and said, "You are going to the tiny nation of Haiti, and I am going to use you." And she literally said, "Lord, I don't speak Creole. I don't know this culture. I am 100% American, and there is a dictator at that time in Haiti. What am I going to do in this nation? I'm a single woman. I don't have a husband with me." And God kept speaking to her heart. And one day she wake up and flew to Haiti when she did not have one single person to meet her at the airport, and she went. And from that very time, you know, what God is seeking from us is not what we can do. He knew already we can't do anything. What God is seeking from us is, are we available to do what he called us to do? Amen? So this lady went, and God has used her to make a difference in the life of young boys and young girls that would not have a chance to be today alive or to be somebody. I was one of them. It is very emotional when we talk about those things because those touch some private and some intimate part of our life. But if we do not do it, the stone will do it. So it is very important that we stand up and testify the goodness of God. I was 9 years old when I was not being able to go to school. I did not know what school was, and I was 9 years old. Because for some reason, my father, when I was yet in my mom's womb, rejected me and decided that this child that will be born will not be my son because there was some conflict in this family, and he went away with another younger woman than my mom. So I was born, even yet in my mom's womb, I did not have a father. And when I was born, I did not know who my father was. My mom was desperate and she wanted to get rid of me. So from the early age of the pregnancy, she was doing her very best to get rid of me. And she told me after that, "I have done everything to make sure that I abort you so you would not be alive, because I did not want to bear another child more than that I had already. My mom did not know how to read, how to write. She was just a simple peasant living in the mountain, and she had already four kids, and this man walked away. So when I was born, I have been sent to the mountain to be with my grandpa and my grandma. And early, I have been sent to the mountain, and all I knew was taking care of goats, running after cows, and never had a chance to go to school. And when I was 9 years old, ready to turn 10 years old, my grandpa and my grandma died. My grandma died first, and then within 1 year, my grandpa died. So both of them gone. And again, I have been rejected by life, because those two people were the only people that I knew. And here am I in the mountain. My mom got rid of me, and my grandpa and my grandma died. So a stranger took me back to my mom. That's the only people that they know. And when I got to this place, and my mom workman was already in this neighborhood, and my mom took me and told me, "I'm going to take you to a place." And when she took me to the gate of this orphanage, she literally said to mom workman, "I have this little boy. If there is anything you can do with him, it is yours." So I have been donated to an orphanage. God is good, amen? God is good. And that's why sometimes you read a verse in the Bible. Sometimes you live it, amen? That's why I understand what David said. "I was poor and I was abundant, but God thinks about me." This verse has a special signification for me because I've been there. So at the age of 10 years old, I was going to be for my first time in contact with what they call school. But you know, at 10 years old, you know how to count mangoes, oranges, and plantain. And I had my basic knowledge. Amen? So mom took me, and it was totally different. An American lady. I don't speak English, and we can see, and she do like that to me, and I was very hesitated. I don't know this lady, but there is a singer, she sings and say, "Love is a language," amen? Love is a language. You can feel someone who loves you. So to make a long story short, I start school when I was 10 years old. And mom gets somebody to translate for me and say, "You are my son." By the way, mom did not have any children. And she said that, "You are my son. I will love you. As long as I am alive, I will make sure that you get everything that you need. And I want you to know that the sky should be your limit." And mom get me in, and she hired teachers, private teachers for me, because it's tough at 10 years old to walk into a class with little baby and then to find out you don't know anything and you're going to sit down with them. So my mom did not want me to go through, because, you know, children, they will not hide their feeling to you. So you will walk a young man and walk into kindergarten. So they would laugh at you. As a matter of fact, I had the first part of my life, and when mom saw that it was difficult, she says, "Son, don't worry, stay home. I will get people taking care of you." So at 10 years old, I start going to school, and I discover how school was good. I discover how reading was good. And to make a long story short, these teachers and mom's love made something tremendous in my life. I was able to finish elementary school into a short time. Let me tell you, I did it within 3 years, and I finished elementary school. I don't know. Don't ask me today how I did it, but I know that God's blessing was in my life, and I was able to learn quick. I don't know how fast God did it in my life, but I learned quick, and mom was there all the time. You know what your children want? They want a mother, they want a father that can tell them from time to time, honey, you can do it. And those words made my life. Mom always tell me, honey, you can do it. You can do it. I count on you. You are smart. You will make it. I trust in you. And those words built me up. So I was able to do elementary school and immediately going to high school. And then God's blessing was in my life. And here is myself at 10 years old starting school. And then after high school, mom came to me and said, son, what do you want to do? And by this time, I discovered the love of God. I discovered, and I should say, after about a year, I get saved. I came from my grandpa and my grandma, they loved me a lot, but they were in the voodoo, deep voodoo practice. So that's all I knew all my life. From 0 to almost 10 years old, I knew voodoo. So when I came to the orphanage, mom told me something, and that's what she told to every children. Here is God's property. If you are eating God's food, you are sleeping on God's bed, and you are drinking God's water, you will serve God. And it was not an option. Amen. So we did not have a choice to pray 3 times a day. We did not have a choice to sing, and we did not have a choice to go into Sunday school. And I thank God this woman stands for what she believes. I thank God. So I turned to know Christ, and through the love of Christ, through the love of God, I was able to go through it with the support of Mom Workman. And after high school, she came to me. And that was for the first time in my life, I was going to disagree with mom. I always say, yes, mom. For those who knew mom, you better say, yes, mom. Otherwise, you'll have a spanking. So I didn't want to have any spanking. So I always say, yes, mom. But after high school, the first time I was going to say no to mom. Because after high school in Haiti, you go straight to university. And mom came to me and said, son, I have a straight contact from Dallas-Fort Worth. There is a seminar there called Christ for the Nation, and I have a contact there. Would you like to become a pastor? And I say, no, mom. Mom say, what? Repeat for me. I say, no, mom, I don't want to become a pastor. Well, just to let you know, 2 or 3 years after talking to mom all the time, I finished by understanding English, and I was able to translate for mom. So I was into meeting that as a child I should not be. And in all those meetings, I said, you know, that is the last thing that I would like to be, is to be a pastor. I say, mom, I don't want to be a pastor. As I see, you don't have anybody taking care of the people. Why don't you send me to medical school so I can become a missionary doctor? Mom looked at me, and she did not say a word to me, and she left the room. And I know that I was in trouble, but later on she came back and said, son, I love you so much, and I remember when I got you in, I told you I will be for you and I will be with you. So if you want to become a doctor, no problem. I want you to know that I will invest in your life, and whatever it takes, I will be for you. So mom sent me to medical school. After 7 years, I finish and graduate from medical school, because it takes 7 years there. And then mom says, son, I have a surprise for you. But by then, I was already involved in mission, going to the mountain, preaching the word of God, being in Sunday school, living with mom. You don't have a choice for those things. You have to. You go to mission. You are in everything. So mom said, son, After 7 years, you know, like it is in Haiti, you must, in Haiti, when you finish your medical school, it is well seen that you leave Haiti to go to another country, either to Canada or to the United States, to make a specialty, your internship and everything. So when you come back, they can call you Mr. Somebody. So mom said that, I have a surprise for you. You have been admitted at the University of Miami in Florida, and you are going to be there for the next 3 years to do your specialty. So I was, for my first time, in an airplane. And for my first time, I was landing in Miami, and I saw so many lights. It was 9:30 on a Saturday, and I was blessed. So this woman basically poured all her life. And after that, I promised her that I would keep my words. And I did keep my words. And I flew back to Haiti to be what I said to mom that I would be, to be a missionary doctor. I learned there infectious diseases with a focus on HIV or sexually transmitted diseases. And then after a couple of years serving mom, loving mom, and going through the mountains serving God's people, mom released me because something new happened into my life. I met the love of my life, a beautiful woman, and I love her. And in that time, you have to come to mom before you even say yes or no. You come to mom. That was the principle. So I was a little bit shy, but I take my courage and I say to my wife-to-be, there is somebody in my life that I would like you to meet, and her name is Mom Workman. So I will introduce you to, and I told her, here is how you will talk to her. And I told her, I love her. And I told her, here is how you need to dress and to sit, because she's very strict. So I introduced mom to Katya to mom and say, mom, this is a young girl that I met at the medical school. She's very nice. She's Christian. And I really would like you to get to know her and to pray for her. And mom told me, tell me the truth. I said, yes, mom. I kind of love her. She said, you better tell me the truth. I say, mom, I love her, but I really would like you to pray. So to make a long story short, she met Katya, and she blessed me. I did it the old-fashioned way because I know these are the best way that God bless you when you honor God's people in your life. So after we got married, mom released me and say, son, you have proved to me that you love me and you love the word of God and you love God. You have spent your life serving in Haiti. Now you are married, you are a man. It's time for you to be released. And that's when I decided. I say, okay, mom, are you sure? She said, yes, you're free. And I moved to Canada. The only thing I should know you before, I would not move to Quebec. I would move straight to here. But I moved to Quebec, and there I spent 10 years. And I was having fun, a very nice life, decent life. My wife was working in a hospital. I was working, and I lose some habits, you know, of praying for shoes, of praying for t-shirts, or praying for a car, or praying to buy a house. I lost these habits to be totally dependent on God because I knew where the money would come. I knew that I had the means to do all things, and I start being a doctor. I start living as a doctor, but after 10 years, God called me back to Haiti. And my colleagues and my friends, when I told them, you know, I'm about to leave and to go back to Haiti, some of them literally do that sign to me. Are you crazy? You telling me now you're going to take your wife, you're going to take your kids, you're going to quit your job, you're going to force your wife to quit your job because you're going to Haiti, and what you're going to do, you're going to be a missionary? But you know, sometime in your life, people will not understand the calling of God for you. You need to stand between you and God. Amen? I stand, and I needed at that time one person approval, and that was my wife. The kids were small. I did not want at that time. I did not need. I shared to them, but they were 2 years old, 3 years old. So they didn't know anything. So my wife was the masterpiece. And I prayed and I prayed. When God convinced me that I needed to leave to go back to Haiti, I said, Lord, what about Katya? How am I going to tell her that to her? How am I going to convince her? But you know, when it's God's will, God works it out. So she convinced my wife, we go to Haiti. That's how I went back, and that's how God poured into my life the vision that I am working now. I went back to my mom, but I remember when I went back to Mom Workman, and she was still active, and she told me, son, I don't want you to take it wrong, but I don't believe that God sent you back to me. I believe that God sent you back to Haiti. And you need to be open to him to know what God wants you to do. Because I don't want you to keep you behind those four walls of the orphanage. I want you to respond to God. I want you to get your vision from God. Because that is my desire for you all, that you stand before God and you answer to God for the vision that he will give you. And that's how God gave me the vision that I am working now. But what I did, God put into my life, get together all those kids that you were growing up in the orphanage. So I take my pen and paper, and I start getting names and telephone number and emails. I call them, and we are all over the world. We have in Abbotsford only more than 70 kids that have been adopted. We have in Philadelphia alone, 30. We have in Chicago more than 100. So we are a lot all over the world. We even have I have brothers in New Zealand. So I called them and I said, what about? We have been blessed. God has blessed us. This woman has poured her life into our life. What are we gonna do? And I convey them and convince them we need to do something. And that's how I was in Abbotsford, and I invite those in Abbotsford to come. And I see them coming. I still call them kids because, you know, when you grow up with someone, even though they have white hair, you call them kids. But I saw those kids coming with wives, with kids. And then I said, it's not true. That's not you. Even you can have a wife. We were kidding. But I see a new generation of people. And I told them, we are going to join hands together. And we are going to carry on the vision that gave us birth. And that's how, about 2 years ago, we put together Go Haiti. Go Haiti stands for Generations of Hope Haiti. And this organization is registered, and we work together. And that's how Mano works with me. He works here in Canada with me, and we have some of us in the United States working with us, and we are organizing ourselves so we can stand for this nation. Because the Bible says that if my people call by my name, humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, the first thing God will do, God will hear their prayers. God will forgive their sin, and God will heal their country. So we stand on behalf of our country, and we know that this is not by accident that we were born there. This is not by accident that my mom took me to the orphanage. This is not by accident that Mom Workman received me. Something in your life today, you might think it was a curse, but God can change your curse into a blessing. You just don't understand it.
I used to believe that growing up in an orphanage was a curse. Growing up in an orphanage was a negative thing. But after God was working into my life, I see that before the foundation of the world, God has planned it for me to grow up in this orphanage. And that's where I was going to meet Him. And that's where I was going to have the vision. And that's where I was going to have a personal encounter with God. So for some of you here, sitting here, something happened into your life and you have some mess into your life and you feel so sorry, you feel so hurtful, so disappointed. Let me tell you a good news this morning. God can use all your mess, and with your age in Him, He can transform all your mess into a message. Amen. He can do it. He take your mess and your age in Him and put the two words together, mess plus age. It's a message. Amen. So God take the mess of my life to give me a message today. That's part of my testimony. That's who I am. I did not expect to be this person that I am. And after that, there's part of my life, and God bless me. I left infectious diseases to go to surgery, and God bless me. I was able to do surgery with the Doctors Without Borders in Belgium, and I was blessed. I work, and God give me, who would ever think, a boy who was not at school at 10 years old, God can bless him to become a medical doctor, to become a specialist in surgery, and to bless him that much. Only in God this thing is possible. Amen? But you know, God did not come physically to do it. God has used someone. If one single woman can do that much, just imagine if we have two, if we have three, if we have more. Just imagine what we can do if God's people stand up. Just imagine if you are obedient, if I am obedient, if all of us are obedient to say, God, I want to obey you and I want to go for you. That's what God has done into my life. And that's why today I'm so crazy for God. I'm so crazy about Him. And that's why also when I go to Haiti and God has blessed me and extended my ministry in Africa, when I go, I do not introduce myself as a medical doctor. I do not introduce myself as a scientist. No. I just introduce myself as someone. Once I was a mess, and God's love in my life transformed my life and blessed me. That's the testimony that I share with people. And that's the testimony when I stand with a group of orphans and they can think that life reserves all curse to them. And I tell them, no, 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 no. You still have another chance. It doesn't matter how late you start school. It doesn't matter how late you start life. If God is in it, if God is in it, it's enough. And that's the message that when I stand up with kids, when I stand up with people, when I stand up with messed up people, I can raise my hands and say, you can never be messier than I was. You can never be hopeless than I was. But God came into my life and everything has changed. Amen. That's who I am. That's my testimony. I did not get into any details, but I hope that one day we'll have a chance to go into details, because as I said, I'm crazy about God, and I feel that I need to testify the goodness of God in generations everywhere that I can stand to say, God can do it. God can do it. Amen.
By the way, I want also to thank Robert and Cheryl. This week, I had a chance to visit Nanaimo, to visit the island. How blessed you are. You, and I want you to know that you have a wonderful piece of land. You have a wonderful place. So I go and visit the beaches and the mountain, the forest, the water. It is gorgeous. It is breathtaking to see such a beautiful place. And I thank God for you. And I thank God for Pastor to allow me to come here and to do that. I love the place. And as I said, I should have known about that before. I would fly straight to here. And I feel more sorry when I was in Quebec. They offered me a job in Victoria and I refused it. Yes, because I say it's very far. I'm not going. So I stayed in Quebec. But I love this place. Coming from Haiti, I appreciate it even more to see the glory of God through creation. That's for the first time of my life I see so many forests, so many trees. I live right now in Florida, in Miami, Florida, and I make back and forth to Haiti. And as you know, Miami, we don't have those trees. So I was amazed. I was shocked to see trees maybe 600 years old, etc., beautiful lake. And when I remember how our mountains in Haiti are so naked, no trees, nothing. And I was happy, and at the same time, I was sad. I say, Lord, how can I transport some of those trees and plant them in Haiti? And I would take them alive and put them on our mountain. But let me tell you tonight, this morning, I'm not here to talk about the beauty of Nanaimo. I'm not here to talk about the awesomeness of this environment. And I am not here neither to talk about the misery in Haiti. I'm not here to talk about how hard it is and all the needs that we have, all the diseases that we have. I'm here to talk about something greater than all our needs. I'm here to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I know the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater and bigger than all your wealth and than all your misery, than all your deception, everything you can ever, good and bad, the greatness of the gospel is higher than everything. Do not take me wrong. I'm not here to boast about we have no needs in Haiti. No, that's not the point. But the point tonight is to let you know that there is a way things are done. As people of God, we cannot be driven by our needs. Like people of God, we cannot be driven by our wealth. Like people of God, we should be driven by the vision of God. Because the vision of God goes beyond what we have. It goes beyond what we are. The vision of God for our life can go beyond what you are. Or beyond your disease, your disappointment, or your sickness, or your deception. The vision of God is greater than that. That's why today I am here to tell you a good news. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer. We do have needs in Haiti. It would be totally shocking to tell you I grew up in an orphanage and to tell you there is no hungry people in Haiti. There is no orphan in Haiti. There is no this in Haiti. But I am not standing here this morning because I have eaten. I am not standing here this morning because I went to school. I am not standing here this morning because I have a medical degree. I am standing here this morning because the Word of God has done something in my life.
And quite often, and I see that because I spent a good 37 years in this environment with mom. And I saw even us missionary, we made the mistake. And when we go into a third world country and we are totally driven by the social, and we think if we can feed everybody, all the problem will be solved. If we can take all the medicines of the world and we cure everybody, all the problem will be solved. Let me put it that way so you can understand. If you had all the food of the world and you go to Haiti and you feed all the kids and they were well fed, but without the word of God, they would go to hell well fed. If you have all the money of the world and you go and you build the best university in Haiti, the best school, and the kids would be well educated and they would be little Einstein, they would be smart, but without the word of God, they would go to hell well educated. If you can, having the best place and you feed them and they will be happy and they have all the medicines, they would go to hell healthy. But what we need is the word of God. Because what is taking place in my tiny nation today is not a problem of food. It is not a problem of money. It is not a problem of medicines. It is higher than that. It is a problem of the word of God. And I believe, brothers and sisters, what the Bible say. The Bible say, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will add those things that we are every day crying for. So I'm not standing here to ask you to bring all the wealth of Nanaimo to Haiti. I'm standing here to ask my brothers and sisters to stand up with me and to take the people of Haiti for Christ by being a light in the darkness, by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the Bible say and the word of God say that they shall know the truth. And the truth shall set them free. You will not be able to set them free by the money that you will pour on them. Let me tell you, after this earthquake, billion of dollars has been gathered for Haiti. 2 years after, Haiti is worse than before the earthquake. So you see, billion of dollars can do something. The word of God can do something. Before the earthquake, we had 37 NGOs. NGOs stand for non-profit organization from all over the world, Canada, United States, France. After this earthquake, we have 137 NGOs, and they all crowd to Haiti because, wow, let us make some money. But this is not the solution. The solution is the word of God. The solution is to preach the gospel to the poor. The solution is to let them know the truth and let the truth set them free. And that's why we stand up in Go Haiti. We call ourselves a generation of hope. A generation who will understand a nation cannot live by rice and beans alone. A nation cannot live in dignity by hand out alone. A nation cannot build up on people kindness and mercy when they want it. But a nation can build up on righteousness. A nation can build up because the Bible says that iniquity will kill a nation, but righteousness will rise up a nation. And that's why we stand for. And that's what we want to do. And that's why we want you to stand up with us, to make one team with us, and to go to Haiti and to preach the gospel. Clinic will be an end. Clinic will be like a channel for the bigger vision. Orphanage will be a channel for a bigger vision. Oh, every school, trade school, will be a way to touch the people. But the priority number one is to let them know that they need Jesus. The priority number one is to stand for Christ. Let me read for you in Matthew 28. Oh, I'm almost exceeding my time. In Matthew 28, the Bible says that, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the great commission that you and I, we call to do into the nation. We need to go and preach the gospel to the poor. Like Jesus, when they invite him to go to the synagogue, and then he stood up and after he read Isaiah 61, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And to announce a deliverance year for the captive. Brothers and sisters, God count on you. Church is remaining on earth for one single purpose. God can easily, immediately you confess Jesus is Lord, he can rapture you immediately to go to heaven. If you are still on earth, you do have a special mission. And this mission is not really the first mission, is to just gather every Sunday together to worship. It is good to worship every Sunday, but this mission is to go to the end of the world and to preach the gospel, because worship will have eternity to worship the Lord. But let me tell you, preaching the gospel, we have a short window to do it. I'm telling you the truth. Always you'll have the chance to worship the Lord. But preaching the loss, at any cost, you have a short period of time to do it. So therefore, this morning, I want you to know that preaching the gospel, going into mission, is not a gift. Some people say, I just don't have the gift to be a missionary. Bad news. Going into mission is not a gift. Going into mission is not an option. Going into mission is an obligation for every believer. You can be part of a team. You can do mission here in Nanaimo. You can do mission in wherever, in your family. You can be part of a team. But it's not an option. All of us are called to go into mission. All of us are called to preach the gospel. It's a must. It's not an option. And you don't have to have qualification to be a missionary. I said it and I put it that way. If you can make a child laugh, you are qualified to be a good missionary. Amen? If you can make a child laugh, you are qualified to be a good missionary. If you can change a diaper, you are qualified to be a good missionary. If you can tutor a kid, you are qualified. If you can give a pill, you are qualified. If you can stay on your knees and pray, you are qualified to be a good missionary. All of us here, sitting here, you are qualified to be a missionary. And you are called to go to Jerusalem. You are called to go to Judea. You are called to go to Samaria. You are called to go to the utmost part of the world, even in Haiti, to preach the gospel. A lady came to me and said, Pastor, I will go into mission, but I have a few conditions before God before I can go. She said that I really would like to finish paying my mortgage. And after I finish my mortgage, I really would like to see my kids are finishing college, so they're working. And I really, she gave me a list of 10 things that she would like to see happen before she goes into mission. And I say, sister, let me tell you something. After you have add all those things together and you will have the addition of all those things, do you know what the result will be? She said, what? I say, the result will be mission impossible. You will not be able to have everything in your mind set up. You need to open your heart to God and say, God, I'm ready to go for you. God, I'll do it. If you hold my hand, if you empower me. And that's what Jesus did. Not only she sent them, but the Bible said that he prayed over them and he breathed on them. He empowered them to go, and they were blessed to go. Brothers and sisters, I am begging you. In the Bible, there was a man from Macedonia. In a vision, he came to Paul and said, Paul, could you please come to Macedonia? Because we need you. Let me tell you, it's not a vision. It's a real man standing before you from Haiti. It's not a vision. It's a real Haitian. A man who would not have a future. But the gospel of God has reached me. And I'm standing here tonight and asking you, could you please come to Macedonia? Could you please come and join us? I did not take time to make a list of needs that we have, but there is one that is very great that I would like to share with you. That's the unique one. There is other needs, you'll find out. But we are looking for a couple, a parent couple, someone who have raised kids already, but they don't have any little kids, that would be willing to volunteer 1 year of their life to be a mother and a father for the orphanage. I don't have to describe the room, but you'll have a room to sleep. We are looking for someone like that. Because while I'm going all over, I really would like to have somebody staying there, and his first mission is to be a father and a mother. This is a great need that we have. I'm going to show you, and I'm about to finish, I'm going to show you a video, and I will briefly comment it, and then I will close. But before that, I'm asking you for your prayer, and I'm asking you for your support in this warfare that I am in. It's not easy. It's not easy. Being involved in Haiti is not easy. And if I still have joy and happiness, it's because my joy does not come from what I have or for who I am. My joy comes from the Lord. After this earthquake, I thought that I was going to die. I was there. And I lost two brothers. One of them, we were able to take him out after 7 days. And my life was devastated. And I think that I would not be able to make it. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. I need your prayer when I am at the battle, that you, my brothers and sisters, you can be on your knees for me. And you can send a prayer for me. I'm asking them to play the video number one, please. And it cannot be.
Well, last week I was in Haiti, inspired to go after meeting a young woman from Connecticut. She's doing amazing things for the people there. And here's her story. Kim Cornell, a recent nursing grad from Southern Connecticut State University, has been traveling to Haiti for 4 years now. But her first trip here in 2008 inspired her to pursue that degree.
Coming down to Haiti and seeing the need firsthand and meeting Dr. Franco really inspired me to change my career and go back to school for nursing.
Dr. Franco has been working as a missionary medical doctor since 1995. He was also the director at the time of the orphanage Kim was volunteering at. It was on this trip that Dr. Franco asked Kim to visit St. Mark's Hospital.
So when we got to St. Mark Hospital, which is initially where the cholera outbreak started, it blew my mind. Like, the stuff that you see there is just not anything you can ever mentally prepare yourself for. And I actually had to leave and take a step back and kind of regain my composure and go back in. I mean, you saw people with end-stage AIDS suffering, people who haven't eaten in days, waiting in the sun for weeks, and they don't feed you unless your family comes to feed you. There's absolutely little to no care. If you get care, it's basically a physician writing a script for something that you will never be able to afford.
Kim decided then that she would go back to school and become a nurse.
On the way home, Dr. Franco talked about how he wanted to open a med clinic one day and that the number one thing he needed was nurses and just how much of an impact they can have on patients' care and how he wanted someone in the States to get other nurses involved and kind of head it up.
In 2010, Kim had a team come down to volunteer in Haiti. But what happened next changed her life forever.
Initially, it started off slow. We just stood there.
The 2010 Haiti earthquake was a catastrophic 7.0 magnitude quake. An estimated 3 million people were affected by this quake. The Haitian government reported 316,000 people died, 300,000 injured, and 1 million left homeless.
We immediately had to go back to the orphanage because at the time, the orphanage we were volunteering at was right at the epicenter of the quake. Oh my, that ride will be like, it will be forever ingrained in my mind. We started off in the daylight, and all I saw was like, you know, trees that had fallen down, telephone poles. We weren't like in the middle of it. But then as we got into Port-au-Prince, I mean, we were driving over bodies like they were speed bumps.
One little boy named Guy Pai, who had really connected with Kim, was okay. She immediately decided to start the adoption process. Today, with the help of Kim, Dr. Franco has started a new orphanage. Generations of Hope Haiti, also known as Go Haiti, is a nonprofit organization committed to reaching the lost and poor of Haiti at any cost. This is the Generations of Hope orphanage, but Dr. Franco says they still need $100,000 for this orphanage to fully and completely belong to Go Haiti. They also want to update it and build a school, so this is going to be a long and tedious process.
We can receive kids, train them, educate them according to a good education, and give them a good Christian value. Now, I want this orphanage not to be an institution or a jail. I want it to be a home.
And with the passion and drive of Dr. Franco, Kim, and the numerous volunteers that travel to Haiti, this halfway built orphanage will feel like home. And according to Dr. Franco, you just have to believe that someone out there will help. But more importantly, he says, you have to believe in the power of prayer.
Amen. Let me tell you the good news. This video is old. But within 2 months, God has allowed us to raise the $100,000. And this property is paid now. Amen. What a God. And God has given since then 15 acres of land right now that we have the deeds. And there was major work that is making right now in the orphanage. So God is in the business of blessing his people. I want your prayer and I want your support. And I want a team to visit because it's good to see it. But it's something else to touch it and to see it face to face. So keep me in your prayer. The time is short, and I don't want to keep you any longer. But we want you to know that it was a privilege. It was a chance that we have, and we are grateful. Thank you, Pastor Mike. And now I want you to know that I have a friend. I have somebody when I come to Nanaimo. If Robert does not come to pick me up, I'll call Pastor Mike. I just mentioned, we are working in four major areas. Child care, we have orphanages where we take care of kids. Our hope and goal is to build the best school in Haiti, a school that will represent the glory of God, the best school and the best trade school. Our goal is to transform our tiny clinic into the best hospital in Haiti. Amen. By the grace of God, I believe that you and I, we have the qualification and the skill to do it. And God has the resource. Amen. And I put it like that, Pastor Mike. Wonderful. If it's God's will, guess what? It will be God's bill.
Wonderful. Just a few comments in closing tonight. How many of you would like to come and know more about the practical side so we can just see our hands here? Okay, that's great. So maybe what we'll do is we can maybe set it up here, take some of the chairs, just set it up here so there's space. And then tomorrow night, like I said, from the medical point of view, if you know others, they don't have to be Christians to come and help save. You might have colleagues and friends that have a heart. This is an amazing nation. And through that, they would obviously be touched by the love of God. And just to say this again, while Franco was preaching there, just on the faithfulness of God, this has been something that Deborah and I have held in our hearts for many, many years. And I just saw it like a picture I was preaching of, you know, you see an oyster bed and many oysters, but one of them or two of them will have a pearl in it. And I just felt that in my heart. And on Friday, God, I really felt after meeting with you and some very direct questions and backwards and forwards that our hearts have been knitted together, and we just want to thank you and honor you. And church, one of the things about missions too, we got to remember it starts outside this door. And I remember with Dudley, the apostolic oversight, he said, if you can't do it in your own city, why would you do it anywhere else? And so the issue is this, it's not now everything Haiti, and let's leave Nanaimo. It's not everything Nanaimo and let's leave Haiti. It's both and all. The Jerusalems, the Judeas, right through to the uttermost parts of the world. And just as much as we have an obligation here, God's going to knit our hearts. And the wonderful thing is we can leverage here stuff that they can never do there. So there'll be some people here that will just be involved in helping us maybe leverage medical equipment, maybe education stuff. Maybe we can send containers worth of equipment, bicycles, things like that, that they need desperately there. So it's an all-in-one. But my heart is, once again, is for us to get a team there to work with Dr. Franco, and from that, on a regular basis, send teams for a week or 2 weeks, whatever people would desire, to go and help there and spread the gospel there. So I really thank God. This is an answer to prayer. It's just amazing sitting there because, you hold these things for many years and often people come and say, why, you know? Why isn't it happening or why aren't we doing this? And it's tough sometimes because you know all the needs that are out there. And to sit here today and just see a man with a heart for the kingdom, for the gospel, a man of integrity that we can work with is you've blessed me incredibly today, and I want to thank you for that. And we won't hold you any longer, but just close in prayer. Like I said, tonight there will be eats here too. And what time is it? 6:30. I'm a great administrator, as you see. 6:30. Father God, we just thank you for today. Lord God, you are so gracious and compassionate, and your timing is always perfect. And Father, we just thank you for the gift of Emmanuel and Franco and many others that are doing similar things in other parts of the world. And Father, I pray, even as we journey together, Lord God, because we want this to be sustainable. I don't want this to be a flash in the pan, and 6 months later we forget about it, and there's a new flavor of the month, Lord God. We want to build. We want to establish churches, Lord God. We want to see your kingdom come. So, Father, I pray that you will give us wisdom. Even Franco and myself, as we begin to partner together, give us wisdom, Lord God, beyond our natural ability. Give us as a church wisdom, Lord God, because this is not about us and making our name great. This is about the kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray your blessing on everyone. And Lord, the ones that are seeking truth and may not know you as their Lord and Savior, even as Franco has spoken, Lord, I pray that you will seal that seed in their hearts that God loves them in the midst of their mess and their chaos, and that he has a plan. And if they will take that away, Lord God, we have succeeded today. We thank you for that. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be blessed. Thank you so much. If we can have some music in there, if you'd like to chat to Franco, he'll be here. And find out more about it, please come tonight.